Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. Our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable, is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. So back after a little bit of a holiday break, I guess first off, did you have a good holiday?
I did, yeah. Good. It was nice. Hope everybody listening did as well. I mean, yeah, already 2026, hard to believe, but yeah, hope everybody had a safe and wonderful holiday season.
Very good, yep, hope so too. And so I wanted to kind of talk about, there was a little discussion about TIF at last night's meeting, and this would be just kind of my perspective, seeing it seems like TIF dollars seem to be a little bit more tight right now, and B, there's been some changes on how things done. So it doesn't seem like you guys quite have the TIF money that has been there in the past.
No, and I talked about this when I campaigned, you know, that, yeah, we get X number of dollars. We have two TIF districts, first off, and we get X number of dollars a year. And the big TIF, which I'll call TIF 1, it's about $800,000, I think, it comes in the TIF revenue. And what I think we need to guard against is entering into these multi-year agreements, which, you know, we've done in the past. Not saying that is always the case, but, you know, again, when I view entering multi-year agreements like spending, you know, today's money or tomorrow's money today, you know, and you really can't necessarily do that. So yeah, we've some projects that have been very worthwhile that are on the books, and as a result of that, that limits the amount of discretionary TIF funds that we have. You know, some of those will run off, you know, over time. And, you know, and then the other thing is we're going to, you know, we've extended the TIF. You know, we're going to be up against the life of the TIF here sometime in the next, you know, 10 years or so. So, yeah, to your point, absolutely. We are scrutinizing much more the TIF applications to make sure that, you know, we're trying to get a return on investment for the taxpayers, because at the end of the day, it's taxpayers' money, and also comply with the best practices. When the TIF was extended a few years ago, you know, there was best practices that were agreed upon between all the taxing districts that are impacted. And, you know, we're at the city, we're trying to follow those best practices and those guidelines.
It's one of those things too, and I'm not saying you do this seriously, but you do always have to think, okay, there could be something bigger down the road that sure. We want TIF for. We got to be careful not to drain the account.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly right, and that's always the challenge, right? You would like to be able to help everybody out that asks for help, but again, you know, we really need to evaluate this as a return on investment model. And then again, yeah, save money for a rainy day in case you get that opportunity that, you know, again, the standard of TIF is the but-for. But for the help of TIF, this project wouldn't move forward. So that's really, we need to get back to focusing on that. You know, it's one thing to ask for. It's another thing to say, you know, this project's not going to move forward if I can't, you know, get the support of TIF.
So changing gears a little bit, I noticed in the packet last night, general sales tax revenue about 8 months into the fiscal year, it's up. So that's a good thing, because that's a big revenue source for the city.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we, you know, again, as we're getting ready to ramp up for budget season next year, I mean, a lot of, you know, a big part of our revenue comes from sales tax. And so, you know, we're fortunate to have, you know, a couple larger retail establishments in town that helps with that. You know, and again, it's the regional approach. A lot of that money is being generated from outside of the city limits. So we're able to take advantage of that. We continue to monitor it. And, you know, again, we will budget accordingly, but we're very fortunate that sales tax levels have really held steady.
And it's been over $2 million the last few years. Looks like it's maybe going to be even a little higher than that. I think the average person might not think about the difference. And you talked about having the two big retail establishments. You've got the interstate here. Comparing Vandalia to other communities this size, you do really well with sales tax.
Oh, no, absolutely. Again, we're very fortunate. And because of that, and we've talked about this in the past, it allowed us to hold the line on property taxes this year. You know, and again, anytime we can do that, that's a win, you know, I think, for everybody. And so, yeah, we're excited, pleased to have the opportunities presented by the interstate, you know, by our larger retailers, and it just helps the overall financial stability of the city.
So the last time we talked, it was right after you had been given the Kroger building. I know that got finalized and everything. And I kind of wanted to get into something a little different because I saw some comments from folks, and you had talked about a potential prospect, but you can't go any further than that. And people sometimes get aggravated by that, but a lot of times these things aren't finalized. People still want to remain confidential in case something falls through. You're hamstrung by that when it comes to going any further with any information.
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to respect the privacy of people who are looking at an opportunity. Plus, you know, there's grant money that's involved. And so you don't want to announce something that's not for sure. I mean, you know, you can speculate and rumors are out on the street, but I'm going to try to respect the privacy, until we're in a position that, we know we have something solid. My commitment is we are going to do something with the Kroger building. We're very optimistic that, something's going to happen sooner than later. And if for whatever reason that would fall through, then we at the city will determine what the next steps are. But, my pledge to the people is that building that's sat vacant for 21 years will not sit vacant, for a longer extended period of time.
One other thing, I saw some comments about it. We talked about this a little bit, projects, the tradition is you take the low bid as long as that person is, a competent company. Sure. And so on and so forth. And people were like, well, there's a little bit of a comment if you get what you pay for, but that's, when it comes to the city, it's going to be pretty hard to pick and choose when it comes to that. Low bid is kind of the practice.
Yeah, especially on larger projects when there's a significant, how do you justify going with a much higher bid? I think there's been times in the past where if it's a very small dollar amount, does a local contractor get, hometown privilege? So maybe you can justify that if it's a business that employs people here, pays taxes here, then I think, in my opinion, you can justify that. What that dollar amount is, I don't know, but I think your reference to back to the story on Randolph Street, looking back at those bid tabulations, I mean, it was $126,000 difference between the low bid and the next closest bid, and you can't justify that. Again, these are all bidders that have been, in essence, certified or approved, in that case for IDOT, you can't justify to the taxpayers, $126,000. And even that wasn't even a local bid. None of those bidders were local on that particular project. So, yeah, again, those practices are in place for a reason to protect the integrity of the taxpayers and their money. And that's what we're going to do. I mean, that's why we put out the bids for that reason and that reason specifically.
And it's also one of the reasons you have an engineering firm, because you look at, leave from Merlano and Grunlow and say, hey, is this a reputable guy? And he says, yes, they are, because that's why you got him,
absolutely.
To be able to tell you things like that and consult on things. And so the bottom line is you hire a reputable firm that's IDOT approved and so on and so forth. You kind of got to go with a low bid. Jumping around, it's going to get pretty wild.
In that particular case, there is no reason to justify going for a higher bid in that situation. So, that's, again, that's the process. And we've had seven bidders on that particular project, and they were the low bid. And again, the next closest was $126,000, dollars higher.
So site readiness grant, able to get that in.
Application submitted,
Application submitted. And it kind of sounded like from what was said last night, this won't be a long waiting process maybe?
No, so the first round that all the applications were submitted, then there was kind of a selection process. It's our understanding that they're reviewing applications as they are turned in for this round. So ours was submitted by the end of the month. I don't know what the time frame is, but we're hopeful the selection committees are looking at it maybe this month. And if we're deemed worthy, maybe we'll hear something, in the next, 60 to 90 days would be hopeful. And, again, we got it the first round. We're hopeful that we get this round. If we do, that allows us to basically complete that 115 acres. And we will have shovel ready, marketable property for prospects.
talking about that water treatment plant continues to move forward and really seeing some progress there.
Yeah, just drive by. I mean, it seems like there's stuff being delivered. Letitia mentioned last night, you know, the building, the actual building construction that will go around that facility will start sometime next week, weather permitting. You're seeing a lot of materials being dropped off of there. So we have a construction meeting next week. We have a monthly construction meeting, and based on what we're seeing, they're on schedule. I mean, and I tell people that. I know this project started in 2018, and so you can argue it's not on schedule, but once the construction actually started, they are on schedule, and so we're hopeful later this fall that, you know, that's going to be fully functional and operational.
Last night, Streets Committee addressed some things when it came to downtown parking, mm-hmm. and I know that had been something talked about quite a bit. Just try to open it up more. And I know, you know, saw some comments on social media from people that they agreed that pulling onto Gallatin is a little bit of a challenge at times. So hopefully this will help.
Yeah, I mean, and I expressed that same concern. I mean, and I mentioned 4th Street specifically, but you can make the argument on 6th Street as well, where you don't have stop signs and you have to pull out onto Gallatin Street. It can be a challenge the way the parking situation is. So, you know, the Streets Committee, you know, ultimately the council decided, you know, additional stop signs on Gallatin is not the direction they want to go. So what we're doing is there are areas that are no parking, and we're going to basically make sure that those are clearly marked. And, you know, again, and I focus on 4th Street because that's where all the traffic is. And you've got a highly successful business in Blind Society, the Copper Penny, not to mention Charter's Patio, you know, the Sunshine House. There's just a lot of activity. Not to mention there's a state house right across the street.
With a lot of foot traffic.
With a lot of foot traffic, yeah. So, you know, again, we're not trying to take parking away, but just clearly mark it so when you are pulling onto those streets, you know, it's a safety concern. And so that's the direction we're going. I think that's the right thing to do. And then, you know, we'll reevaluate. There was even discussion last night, you know, bring back, you know, is there possible maybe angle parking on parts of Gallatin? And so we're going to have a conversation with IDOT to talk about that, because we've had a couple of local businesses that, you know, would like to see, at least have the consideration, could we go back to some type of maybe angle parking on parts of Gallatin Street? So not saying we're going to do that, but it's something we're going to at least inquire and study, you know, and see if it makes sense.
So we're 6 days into the new year, and that means most of the New Year's resolutions are already done.
Yeah, blown away. gained weight already. Yeah.
So, for the city, do you have any resolutions you want to see done in 2026?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, again, I think we're just going to continue just the momentum that we had in 25. I think we ended the year strong. There's just a lot of positive things on the horizon, and I couldn't be literally more excited about that. We're, you know, our next EDC meeting is next week. You know, we're going to continue the momentum built there. Obviously, we're waiting on the site readiness. And again, the pledge is to be transparent, to do what we're doing now. Don't shy away from issues or debate, discussions. You know, be very transparent with the people, what's going on in the city. You know, it's their city too, and people have a right to be informed. So, you know, resolution, we'll just, you know, we're going to be looking at a lot of things at the city level. We're going to be looking at our IT situation. We've already talked about we're going to go online with payment solutions. We passed last night the Placer AI, so we're now going to be able to better track where our traffic is coming from for events, and so we can market better. You know, we've got the 250th celebration coming this year. So it's just, again, when you just go through, you know, the list of stuff that we're working on, it can be exhaustive at times, but it's so exciting at the same time, just because there's, again, a lot of momentum.
Again, thank you for listening to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable. This podcast is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. You can find all of our podcasts under our podcast tab on our website at vandaliaradio.com.